Let's open the scriptures to the book of Matthew, at least to begin with, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And then we're going to make our way over to the book of John once again. John 8. We'll be going there after we visit the 17th chapter of Matthew for just a little bit. Our Lord Jesus never backed away. He never backed off from any spiritual truth, even if it offended those to whom he was speaking. He never sought to avoid any offense. If the Word of God, if the gospel of God's grace, if it offended those to whom he was speaking, well, it just had to offend them. But on those other occasions, that is, those occasions when he spoke of things that were, well, not of any spiritual consequence, he did avoid offense. He avoided offense. In other words, if it's a scriptural issue, he dealt with it. No matter what the reaction was of those to whom he spoke. And of course, he reads everybody's thoughts. He knows everybody's hearts. He knew whether men would receive the truth or reject the truth, but that didn't keep him from setting forth the truth of who God is, man's own sinfulness, the gospel of his grace. But when he's dealing with other things, speaking about other things or other matters that are of no everlasting or spiritual consequence, he avoided offense. That is evident here in Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 24. Matthew 17, 24. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received the tribute money, they came to Peter, and they said, "Doth your master pay tribute?" Now, this is not giving a tribute to the government of Rome. It isn't giving it to Caesar. This is actually kind of a temple tax. That's what this is. You can go back and read of it in Exodus chapter 30 on some occasion if you like, but every male who was above the age of 20 had to give a half a shekel. That was like a tax or a tribute that they had to give for the upkeep of the temple. This was required of all the men. And so here's the issue. There's not the Roman government, not publicans, not tax collectors, but there were those who were in authority sitting outside a synagogue, and they were collecting money for a temple tax. And actually, if you go back in Exodus chapter 30, it's really a ransom that had to be paid. As you read that scripture back in Exodus chapter 30, you'll find that the rich didn't pay more, and those who didn't have very much, those who were poor, they didn't give less. Everybody had to pay the same. It's a ransom price. And that pictures redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus. It pictures the ransom of his people by his substitutionary sacrifice on the cross. What did it take to redeem us? Not corruptible things, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, such as silver or gold. He specifically mentions those there in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, "You were redeemed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was without blemish and without spot, ordained to do that before the foundation of the world. And so here is our Lord and Peter, and they go most likely to the house where Peter lived. And as they were going there, they go by the synagogue and or wherever it was that they collected this. Maybe even they came to the door of Peter's house. But they said this to Simon Peter, "Does your master pay the ransom price? Does he pay the temple tax?" And verse number 25, he said, "Yes. Yes, he does." And when he was coming to the house, the Lord Jesus, already inside the house, it says Jesus prevented him. In other words, before Simon Peter could say anything about it, the Lord brought this issue up because he already knows. He knows all things. He read Peter's mind and knew Peter's heart. He knew of the conversation that had taken place outside of Peter's dwelling place. And so he asks him, he says, "What do you think, Simon?" He says, "Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter said to him, "Of strangers." Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children are free." That is, children don't have to pay a tax. Our Lord Jesus, he wasn't obligated to pay this tax because it was a tax to keep up that house, which was his Father's house. He's in the family. So is Simon Peter. He's one of the people of God. But the Savior said this in verse 27, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them." In other words, he says to Simon Peter, let's avoid any kind of confrontation here. Am I obligated to pay this ransom money? No. Are you obligated to pay it? No, but this isn't an issue of any everlasting value. This is neither here nor there. So he said, "We don't want to offend them. We don't want to offend them." So he says, "You go down to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that first comes up, and when you've opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. You take that and you give it unto them for me and for you." You see, when it comes to issues that are, let's say, indifferent issues, got nothing to do with spiritual things, got nothing to do with the Scriptures, got nothing to do with those things which are of everlasting value, our Lord Jesus says, avoid confrontation, because those things, there's nothing else that is the issue except the things of God. That's what he's saying. So he said, let's don't offend them, Simon Peter. Now, there's no question about that, the fact that the people who tried to collect the money or came to collect the money, they would have been members of the Judaistic religion, Judaism, and they believed in salvation by works, and they all did, unless they were saved by God's free grace. But that's not the issue in this situation. This is a matter of, and I'll use the word again, indifference. Doesn't have anything to do with heaven. Doesn't have anything to do with eternity. It doesn't have anything to do with salvation. In other words, this isn't worth taking a stand over, Peter. And I would say to you and me, there's lots of things in this world that we might feel very, very strongly about. This is my viewpoint on it. And you come across somebody else who's got a different viewpoint on that, avoid the offense. Unless it's a spiritual matter. That's what our Lord is teaching us here. Avoid the offense unless it's of spiritual importance. In other words, don't offend anybody over inconsequential matters. Don't take a life and death stance over anything except the truths of this book. I think that's what the teaching is. That's what our Lord sets forth. That's what he sets forth. We don't want to be offensive. We don't want to be offensive over things that are of no spiritual consequence. By example, our Lord Jesus, he teaches us, as it were, to sort of bend over backwards to just keep from offending people. You don't want to be an offense to people over things that are don't have anything to do with the gospel, don't have anything to do with the Word of God. You know, and it may be something that we feel very strongly about. But as far as the Word of God is concerned, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with who God is. Got nothing to do with man's depravity. It's got nothing to do with how God saves sinners. It's got nothing to do with the veracity of the Word of God, the truthfulness of God's book. Got nothing to do with that. Well, then don't take a life and death stand on it. Because you may offend somebody to such an extent when you want to speak to them about things that are really important, you've built a barrier. You've built a wall. You've already put an obstacle up, and they say, I'm not going to listen to that guy because he believes thus and so, or he has strong feelings about this, and I disagree with him totally. Don't make little things to be big things. That's it. Don't, you know, you've heard the expression, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Well, I tell you, most of the things that people argue about today and disagree about today, as far as the things of God are concerned, they're just little molehills. Now, if you want to talk about the gospel, how God saves lost sinners, you want to talk about God's electing grace, you want to talk about this book, the authority of this book, you want to talk about man's condition, our awful condition before God, the fall of man, man's alienation from a holy God. You want to talk about the only way of salvation through the death of the Savior, by his sacrifice, by his blood. Now, those are issues to take a stand over. Those are life and death issues. But these other things, just be careful. Be careful. It's just not worth stirring up an offense over many things. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, give none offense either to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. There's lots of things. Just let them go. Let them go. And, you know, look, our Lord said, look over in Matthew 22. Here's another occasion. Look at Matthew 22. Look at verse 15. Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees, Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees, they took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. You tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Here's another inconsequential issue. And they want to make a big fuss over it. Of course, they want to catch him in his words. But Jesus, he perceived their wickedness, and he said to them, "Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites?" He said, "Show me the tribute money." They brought unto him a penny. He said to them, "Whose is this image and this superscription?" They said to him, "Caesar's." Then he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way, because they were expecting him to take a stand. You see, most any Jew would say, "I don't want to pay taxes to Rome." Now, this is the Roman government that they're talking about collecting taxes. And just about any self-respecting Jew would say, "Hey, I don't want to pay Caesar one dime." Our Lord said, "We'll render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." In other words, this isn't the issue. This isn't. This is not something to get all in the, up in the air about. So by example, our Lord Jesus teaches us that if there's any way, avoid the offense. Having said that, however, when it came to spiritual matters, when it came to the issue of denouncing error, he stood up for the truth, never backed down, never diluted it, never watered it down, never sort of took a step back from the issue of whatever spiritual issue it was, lest he offend people. No, sir, he never backed up one bit, and you better not back up either. Not when it comes to the gospel. Now, if it's something that it really isn't important, it has no eternal value, walk on eggshells. What, these things, they don't matter. These inconsequential things, who cares, really, ultimately? But when it comes to the things of God, you better care. You better care about these things. Our Lord Jesus, he didn't avoid being offensive on these things. Look over at John chapter 6. Look at John chapter 6. I'll tell you this. When it comes to dealing with people, indeed, we have to be as wise as serpents, and we need to be as harmless as doves, don't we? You just got to be careful that you don't get sucked into a war or a battle that doesn't need to be fought. Listen, here's the war. The war is over what is the truth and what is error. Now, there's something to go to war over. Those things that have to do with the gospel. And then false religion. Now, these are things, if people have got to be offended, they'll have to be offended because we're going to stick with the scriptures, sovereign grace, God's free grace to the undeserving through the Lord Jesus. Our miserable, awful condition, our inability to do anything for ourselves, stand up and say, "Free will is wrong. It's wrong. Salvation by works is not according to the scriptures. It's all of grace. Grace in the beginning, grace in the middle, grace in the end. And if you don't believe salvation by grace, you don't know God. I'll pray for you." Don't back up on these things. Don't walk on eggshells when it comes to that. Look here in John chapter 6, and we've gone through John chapter 6. Our Lord Jesus, he set forth himself as the bread of life. He said, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven." And there's a division on account of him. He said, "All that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out." And they got upset. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. That's what the Savior said. And that some of them got so upset. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, John 6:60, when they heard this, said, this is a hard say. This is so offensive to us. This is so intolerable. I'm not going to tolerate this kind of teaching. That's what they're saying. This is a hard saying or doctrine. That's what the word saying is, or doctrine. You say, I don't think anybody ought to harp on doctrine. How can you set forth the Lord Jesus without setting forth his teaching? You just can't do it. They said, this doctrine is so offensive. Yes, it is. It's offensive to the natural man. It's offensive to the flesh. But he didn't hold anything back. When Jesus knew in himself, 61, that his disciples, his followers, his pupils, his students, that they murmured, that they grumbled, literally, that they grumbled at what he had said. He said unto them, doth this offend you? He didn't say, I'm apologetic that I offended you. I sure am sorry I said something you didn't like. He didn't say, well, this is really a non-issue. This is inconsequential. No. This is very consequential. This is vital. This is the very truth of God's word. This is the revelation of God. He just said, does this offend you? He said, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Ascend up by way of a bloody tree. Go back to where I came from. The Father sent me. I'm going back to the Father. Having finished the work that he gave me to do, is that going to offend you? He said, it's a spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words. Listen to what he says. The words. The words that I speak, their spirit, their life. Why do you folks always harp on the Word of God, people say? Why do you always read the Scriptures? Because the words that he speaks, they're spirit, they're life. There's no life anywhere else. We're begotten by the Word of truth. There's life in this book. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God. He creates life within us. So if it offends you, I'll just ask God to make it non-offensive to you, to where you'll say, you know what, it is the truth. Because somebody said it's a sharp edge of the gospel that's what cuts. That's what cuts. That's what you use. We use the sword of the Spirit. You take a knife, you pull a knife out, and it's dull. I was slicing some tomatoes last night, one of those knives that you gave me. Boy, I tell you, it just go right through those tomatoes like that. But you take a dull knife and try to go through a tomato, it just mashes it. Don't take the sharpness of the sword of the Spirit off of, try to blunt the edge, dull the edge. It won't cut. Set it forth in its purity, just as it is, just as God said it. And I'll tell you what, he can cut with it if he's of a mind to. He can cut all the way to your heart. All the way. He says in verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who would betray him. He said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. Go back to Matthew chapter 15. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Our Lord Jesus, he's preaching. He's in Jerusalem. Verse number 10, he called the multitudes. You folks, come in now. I want to talk to you. That's what he said. Everybody kind of close in here a little bit. He said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that's what defiles a man. Then his disciples, they came, kind of pulled him aside, you know, and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Lord, you've offended the Pharisees, these religious leaders. You've said something that you've hurt their feelings. This is contrary to what they believe. You want to back up on this just a little bit? You know, it's like some people say, I think you guys are just too tough. You're too hard. I think most of the time we're not hard enough. Tell you what, it's a narrow way, isn't it? It's not a broad way, is it? Not a broad way that leads to life. It's a broad way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. It's a narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Narrow. We go through that way one by one, and it's not enough room for you and your baggage of self-righteousness. So you got to check that at the door. That baggage of self-righteousness, it's got to come off. That backpack of self-righteousness that you've been carrying around, it's got to go. It's a narrow way that leads to life everlasting. It's narrow. I tell you, this gospel now, it's... It is of such a nature that it is the gospel. It is singular. There's no room for it. There isn't another God. There aren't many gospels. It's not the Baptist gospel and the Catholic gospel and the Methodist gospel. It's God's gospel. It's God's gospel. The gospel of the gracious God. Well, they were offended, but he answered and said, he didn't say, well, I'm sorry. Guess I went too far. No, he didn't say that. He had said every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted should be rooted up. These Pharisees, I tell you what they are, they're plants that my Father hadn't planted. He's going to root them up someday. Leave them alone. Just let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leave the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Peter said to him, would you tell us what you're talking about? Would you tell us this parable? Give us an understanding of it. Jesus said, are you also without understanding? Don't you understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes into the belly, it's cast down to the draught? Those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from right here in the heart. They defile the man. In other words, the defilement's already in you. In fact, you come into this world with that defilement in here. That's the reason you don't have to teach kids to lie. You don't have to teach kids to steal. You don't have to teach kids to misbehave. They already know those things. How they know those things? Same way you knew them. They inherited it from you, and you from your father, and your father from his father, go all the way back to Adam. He says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man. We don't set out to offend anybody. Over to John 8. We don't set out to offend anybody. I hope everybody receives a message. Those of you who are watching, I hope you believe the truth of the gospel. But if you don't, we're not going to take it easy on you. I think you ought to make it more palatable. I can't make it more palatable. I tell you, it's mighty palatable to me. Here's what the psalmist said. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I tell you, it's good to me. This gospel's good for me. It tastes good. The message of grace alone in Christ Jesus alone, revealed in the Word of God alone by the power of the Spirit alone. That tastes mighty good to me. Doesn't it taste good to you? But you take a natural man who's used to eating the briars of the world, used to eating the thorny stuff that he's getting from his pulpit, he doesn't want this. I tell you, God's going to have to change our taste buds. That's what he has to do. To where it's not offensive to us. Here in John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus, he makes this statement in verse number 12. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Don't you think he knew what the reaction would be to that? He knew the hearts of these Pharisees. He knew how vile they were, how hard-hearted they were. And he knew that when he said, I am the light of the world, it's like he just lit the fuse. he did. It just tore them up. But he didn't back down. No, not at all. And I tell you, there's a very intense confrontation and conflict that's set forth in the rest of John chapter 8. He said, I'm the light. I'm the light of the world. And I'll tell you what the light did. It exposed their intention to murder him. Look at verse 39. Verses 39 and 40. They answered, said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth. You see, he's the light. I am the light of the world. And the light exposed their intention to murder him. And the light exposed the reason why they wanted to murder him, and the reason why they didn't believe what he had to say. Look at verse 43. He said, why do you not understand my speech, my language, my dialect? Even because you can't hear my word. You can't hear. You don't have ears to hear. He said, why don't you understand my speech? Why don't you understand my language? Listen, we speak a different language. Our Lord speaks a different language than the natural man can understand. The natural man can understand the language of natural things. But the natural man cannot understand the language that is spiritual, language that is eternal, and language that is of God. That word speech, it's language, it's dialect. People sometimes they hear us preach and say, I don't understand. What's he talking about? We're speaking a different language. We're speaking a foreign language. And it is foreign to us. The language of grace? I tell you, the language we understand works. That's the language. I understand that language, but I don't understand the language of grace. Not by nature. Not by nature. I understand the language, if you do good, God will reward you. I understand that language. But then, there's this language. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. What? What? It's a different dialect. It's a different dialect. And the Lord says, the reason you can't understand what I'm saying, because you can't hear my word. I'll tell you, the scripture says, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, they both come from God. God's got to give us ears to hear. Ears to hear. Ears to hear the difference between truth and a lie. In this whole context, our Lord sets forth the truth. He says in verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Watch it. It'll make you free. What will make you free? The truth. And actually the word make and free in the original are identical. He's saying, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall liberate you to liberation. In other words, it's the word of God, the very truth of God's word. That's what liberates us to have liberty. Our Lord stood in front of Pilate and said, what is the truth? And there is truth standing right in front of him. The Savior said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He set forth the truth. Look at verse 40. But he says, now you seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth. Not a truth. The truth. Which I have heard of God. Abraham didn't react like you are reacting now. This is the truth. Look at verse 44. He said, you're of your father the devil, the lusts of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He didn't abide in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar. He's the father of it, because I tell you the truth, ye believe not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe? I tell the truth. You believe a lie. And I tell you, there's always this battle going on between truth and a lie. God, truth. And then every other false belief. You say, well, what is a lie? Anything contrary to the truth. It's a bunch of lies. I can't list all the lies. You don't have to learn all the lies, but you do need to learn the truth. It's just thankfully just one truth. One truth. That one truth is Christ Jesus. The Word of God is said to be the truth. The Gospel is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Then our Lord talked to them not only about truth and a lie, but he talked to them about liberty and bondage. Go back to verse 33. They answered and said to him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Never in bondage to any man? Boy, they have short memories, don't they? Lord even told Abraham, he said, for 400 years, your descendants will be in bondage. You guys forgot about the Egyptian captivity and bondage, didn't you? And you forgot about the Babylonian captivity and bondage, didn't you? And he could have said, and what about right now? We're in captivity to Rome. But actually, he's not talking about a physical captivity, but a spiritual captivity. A spiritual captivity. He says, if the Son shall make you free, That's what's got to happen. He's got to make you free. Because Yeshua can't free yourself from sin and the slavery to Satan. There's liberty and bondage. Liberty in Christ Jesus, bondage to sin. We got to be freed. We got to be freed from the condemnation of sin. We must be freed from the power of Satan. Must be freed from the love and the servitude of sin. And brought into liberty. Liberty of full and free forgiveness. The liberty of access to God. Listen, people of God, we have the liberty of freedom, the freedom of access to God. We can come to God Almighty anytime we want to through Christ Jesus. The Lord, we have a liberty to do that. We have the liberty, we have freedom from ignorance, spiritual ignorance. There was a time when we didn't know anything. Or to use kind of a double negative, we didn't know nothing. Not about God. Not really, not about the mess that we're in. And nothing about the reason Christ Jesus died on the cross, that God might be just and the justifier of everybody who believes in Him. We were altogether ignorant about that. But now we're liberated from that ignorance. We don't have that ignorance anymore. He's liberated us from error. And then there's this disagreement, and He corrected them on Abraham's seed and Abraham's children. Well, He started talking to them. They said, "We're Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's seed." Our Lord said in verse 37, He said, "I know you're Abraham's seed. You're His literal offspring. But you seek to kill me because my word doesn't have any place in you." Does the word of God have a place in your heart? "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." They said in verse 39, "Abraham's our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham." You're not the spiritual children of Abraham. You are indeed the literal seed of Abraham, but you're not his children. You're not his spiritual children. Because if you were his spiritual children, you'd believe me. And He goes on further in the chapter, and we'll get to it. He said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." He said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But you don't do the works of Abraham. Oh, you're his seed. But you're not his children. Not his children. If you were the children of Abraham, you'd forsake all for Christ, like Abraham did. If they were the children of Abraham, they would cherish the sacrifice of the covenant, like Abraham did. If they were the children of Abraham, they'd believe the Lord Himself would be the sacrifice, just like Abraham did. "My son, the Lord will provide Himself a sacrifice for sin, a sin offering." You'd believe just like Abraham did. If you were his children, and you'd rejoice in me, because Abraham rejoiced in me. Oh, they were offended, but he didn't hold anything back. You see, we got to preach the truth in love, not in a hateful, mean spirit, but in love, set forth the truth. Got to be firm, don't we? Have to be firm. Hold the line. Stay the line. That's what I say to all of you. Stay the truth. Hold fast to the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Yeah, there's an intense confrontation here. Intense conflict. Our Lord didn't back down, and you know what? Those guys didn't back down either. In fact, you get to the very end of the chapter, they picked up stones to stone him. That's pretty serious when you're willing to kill over your religious belief. Well, let's sing a closing song.